Coming up on KSDP News, the race is tight for the Aleutians East Borough mayor election, and another Aleutian volcano is showing signs of life. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You are listening to KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, 88.1 FM in King Cove. This is Austin Roop with some local news on Wednesday, the 4th of October, 2017. The election results are in across the Aleutians East Borough, and while many of the elections are settled, one is still too close to be called. The position of mayor for the Aleutians East Borough shows Alvin Osterbeck in the lead by a narrow 12 votes, with 76 absentee ballots still to be counted. Other races still up for grabs with the absentee ballot count on the borough are the Borough Assembly Seat F, where Josie Shangen holds the lead with Bill Dushkin by 42 votes, and the School District Seat D, which shows Jackie Brandle in the lead of Arlene Gunderson by 45 votes. All those ballots should be canvassed on the 9th of October, 2017. All the incumbents for the various city councils ran unopposed and they retained their seats, but the mayor race in Sandpoint currently has Glenn Gardner ahead of the nearest candidate by 47 votes. 60 ballots still remain to be counted for the city of Sandpoint before the race becomes final. The turnout for the Sandpoint election was 53% of the eligible voters based on a 473 count of eligible voters. That can compare to the 48% that voted in the most recent presidential election between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. All the election numbers are able to be seen on our website, www.apradio.org. Cleveland Volcano is restless. The Alaska Volcano Observatory saw a new lava dome formed in the summit crater over the weekend, and lava is trickling out of the Aleutian Volcano 25 miles west of Umnak. KDLG's Avery Lynn has more.
Cleveland's new dome is about 4,200 square meters. That's a little smaller than 10 NBA basketball courts. Dave Schneider, a geophysicist with the ABO, said that this is pretty standard activity for Cleveland.
This happens relatively routinely at Cleveland, and that we grow small little lava domes that kind of shape like a pancake in the summit crater. And those typically exist for weeks to months before they are blown up and we start the process all over again.
It's been about a decade by Schneider's estimate since Cleveland has exploded with a significant amount of lava. This pattern of building pressure and spewing small amounts of lava is one it goes through pretty frequently.
We grow somewhere between 1 to 2 to 3 domes per year, it seems. Sometimes there's more than less. This year in 2017, we've had at least 3 time periods of dome growth, the last of which was in August, and that one was destroyed by an explosion.
Even though Cleveland's explosions are frequent, its pattern doesn't give scientists much clue as to when this new dome will explode.
If it happened this afternoon, I wouldn't be surprised. If it happened months from now, I also wouldn't be surprised. It's at that sort of level of uncertainty.
The AVO can detect explosions with limited monitoring equipment they have on the island. When Cleveland does explode, they work with the Federal Aviation Administration and National Weather Service to get word out about ash clouds and other potential aviation dangers. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lill.
If President Donald Trump's tax agenda goes into effect, taxes for people of all income groups would go down next year on average. But only a few Alaskans would get the big tax breaks. APRN's Liz Ruskin reports.
According to an analysis by the nonpartisan Tax Policy Center, about half of the total tax benefit would go to the top 1%, people making more than $750,000 a year. On average, they would save more than $100,000 a year in taxes. But you won't find many of the nation's 1%ers in the far north. University of Alaska economist Musin Ghatabi says the state has a fairly equal distribution of income compared to other places.
I mean, we only have about 15,000 returns or so every year that have more than $200,000 in them.
That's fewer than 5% of Alaska taxpayers claiming income of more than $200,000, according to IRS data. And at the other end of the scale, Gitabi says Alaska's poor aren't that poor, thanks in part to the permanent fund dividend.
That means that there are a lot of people in the middle, and so if indeed a lot of the changes are going to negatively impact middle-class Americans, then that means there is a larger percentage of Alaskans that will feel it.
The Tax Policy Center says most middle-class households would see their taxes stay the same or drop modestly, though about one in three would see an increase. The White House and Republican leaders in Congress released their tax proposal last week. Some vital information wasn't included, like the income levels for the tax brackets. The Tax Policy Center says it filled in a few gaps with information from previous Republican proposals. Critics charge the think tank's report is based on faulty assumptions. One thing the Republican proposal would explicitly do is eliminate the deduction for municipal real estate taxes. Some 70,000 Alaska property owners use that deduction to lower their federal tax bill. Frank Sammartino at the Tax Policy Center says eliminating that deduction will have some effect in Alaska.
Although, you know, the percentage claiming the deduction and the average deduction that people claim is much lower than in most states.
The vast majority of Alaskans don't itemize. They take the standard deduction, which the Republican plan would double. Republicans in Congress are expected to spend the next several weeks working on their budget proposal to set the stage for their tax legislation. But the tax plan is already having one effect in Alaska. It undercuts one of the selling points for Governor Bill Walker's proposed payroll tax. If Congress passes the Republican tax plan, a statewide levy like the one Walker wants would no longer be an IRS deductible. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And that does it here for the news in Sandpoint. This is again Austin Roof.